When it comes to stubborn belly fat, we're all searching for a miracle pill. Generally, you have to use multiple products that target belly fat differently to manage excess weight around the stomach. Some products may focus on abdominal exercises or dietary changes, while others might focus on boosting metabolism or controlling cravings. But believe it or not, I may have found a solution that removes the need for juggling through multiple weight management products. It's called Belly Trim, and it's more effective at targeting belly fat, enhancing metabolism, and promoting a toned midsection better than most weight management products I've seen typically found on store shelves. Tens of thousands of five-star reviews back up the notion that Belly Trim is not only a breakthrough in a bottle, but that it also removes the need for us to use countless diet pills and fat-burning supplements. But there's more. If you place your order for Belly Trim now, you'll also receive 51% off, free VIP live health and fitness coaching for life, two free new ebooks titled Top 10 Foods That Burn Belly Fat and Top 10 Exercises to Reduce Belly Fat, a 60-day satisfaction guarantee, and last but not least, free shipping. Simply go to www.trimwithus.com. That's www.trimwithus.com to take advantage of this limited-time deal before they sell out. Once again, that's www.trimwithus.com. Order now. Violent crime across the U.S. has skyrocketed. Just recently, a politician was carjacked by three armed attackers outside his home in Washington, D.C. This comes several months after another politician was assaulted in the elevator of her building. Between mass shootings, kidnappings, burglaries, and carjackings, it's never been more vital to learn how to protect yourself. This is why tens of thousands are choosing the Fighter Flare flashlight. The Fighter Flare flashlight has awed people with a wonderful design and massive light output. On top of an ultra-bright 800-lumen light, it boasts powerful strobe lighting modes for self-defense, a glass-breaking hammer, a built-in power bank, solar-powered recharging, rope cutter, siren, and much more. Countless five-star reviews back up the notion that this flashlight is the latest and greatest in the EDC market. But there's more. If you place your order for the Fighter Flare flashlight now, you'll also receive 66% off, free express shipping, and last but not least, a 100% lifetime guaranteed replacement. Simply go to www.fighterflare.com to take advantage of this limited-time deal before they sell out. www.fighterflare.com. Order now.
Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
You know, I think it's wonderful that people like Tucker Carlson are finally reporting on the true nature of these deadly and unnecessary medications. I think it's great that Dan Bongino is openly and honestly discussing his regret in submitting to the tyranny of taking this deadly and unnecessary medication. But I have one question for both of them. Where were they when the federal government of the United States was trying to exert unmeasurable force upon the citizens of this country to force them to get this deadly and unnecessary medication? Welcome back once again, my friends, to another episode of Red Pill News. As always, I'm your host, Zach Payne, the corruption detector. I hope you're having a lovely day. I have a jam-packed episode for you, and we're going to begin with some breaking news coming out of the story that is the death of John McAfee. Or is it? We've got brand new information. We're going to go over that first. And then we're going to be moving on to the saga that is the raid on Mar-a-Lago. Earlier this morning, President Trump filed suit in district court down here in Florida. Clearly, he believes it was an illegal action and a violation of his Fourth Amendment. And it very well could be based upon some judicial precedents that was set by none other than Amy Berman Jackson in a case that had to do with the Clintons. You're not going to want to miss it. And then we're going to be checking in with the man that would have extorted Matt Gaetz and his family for something like $25 million. He has been sentenced, and it's going to be something that I'm sure the Gaetz family is going to be happy about. And then finally, we're going to discuss the COVID vaccination of Dan Bongino. He's recently come out to say that This is the greatest regret of his life. This is a very sad story. I wish it wasn't Dan that had to go through it, but hopefully this will be a teachable moment for millions of Americans. So do me a favor, sit back, relax, and grab your popcorn. We're going to be right back after this. All right, my friends, thank you so much for sticking around. First of all, today we're going to begin with the saga that is John McAfee's life and death. However, that death may not have come yet, because in a brand new Netflix documentary, a former girlfriend of his from Belize claims that John McAfee is still alive and living in Texas. Now, this is a really twisty story, so stick with me here. You know, at the time that John McAfee passed away, he was extremely wealthy. He was worth about $100 million, and it really would not be too much of a stretch to think that he could have paid off some of those prison guards, perhaps gotten another man's dead body, inserted it into the prison cell, tied a noose around his neck, and then made it look like that was him. And certainly, because it's another country, Spain, they may not have looked as closely as they would have if it would have happened here in America. And this also wouldn't be the first time that someone who has an elite and powerful position might consider faking their own death so that they could avoid criminal prosecution. Now, where is John McAfee? Well, his former girlfriend says that he is in Texas, or at least he was at the time that they spoke. Now, McAfee hanging himself in the cell, it never really sat right with me. It seemed to me that if he didn't kill himself directly, that perhaps he was Epstein'd, or perhaps somebody else who had a grudge against him went in there, maybe paid off the guards and had him murdered, or so to speak. The charges he was looking at here in the United States were related to tax evasion. Now, he hadn't lived here in the United States for some time, but we all know the IRS needs to get their cut. So where does this story originate? Well, that ex-girlfriend from Belize is a woman named Samantha Herrera. She says, "I don't know if I should say, but 2 weeks ago, after his death, I got a call from Texas. It's me, John. I paid off people to pretend that I am dead, but I am not dead." Now, to me, that particular diction that John McAfee used, that sounds like something he would actually say. "I paid off people to pretend that I am dead, but I am not dead." This statement comes from that Netflix documentary, Running with the Devil, The Wild World of John McAfee. It doesn't premiere until this Wednesday, but you better believe me, a lot of people are going to be rushing out to see it, certainly trying to download it online if they're not paying for Netflix. Now, one of the sad parts about this is she also claims that John McAfee told her there are only three persons in the world that know I'm still alive. And then he asked her to run away with him. One of those people who may or may not know that he was still alive at the time would be his wife, Janice. Now, based upon her behavior in the wake of his alleged death, I would say it's kind of possible that maybe she isn't one of those people, especially if he's asking this other girl to run away with him. Now, there have been a number of people who've tried to get in touch with Herrera once the statement was made public, including my friend Matt Couch of the DC Patriot, which is where I'm reading this story from, also people at the New York Post, and a number of others in the fake news media. None of them have been able to get to Samantha Herrera. If John McAfee is alive, this was probably not a wise thing for her to come out and say, because in Texas, they don't need to worry about extradition. They can just send a couple of Texas Rangers down there, grab him, take him back to D.C., and the next thing you know, he's going to be standing trial in federal court. Now, where did McAfee and Herrera get acquainted? Well, I'm sure that many of you remember John McAfee used to live in Belize. They met when she was 18 years old, or at least they started dating when she was 18 years old. John McAfee liked the girls young. At the time, they planned to marry. But in 2012, they had to flee the country because John McAfee was accused of killing his next door neighbor, a Florida native named Gregory Fall. Gregory was shot, and he and John McAfee were in the midst of having a row over John McAfee's dogs. So it was a logical thing for the police to look at John McAfee and accuse him of murder. Now, John McAfee always claimed he never killed him. You can see a lot of information about this in a number of documentaries that are out there and have been for some time. But at the time they ran away, it wasn't just Herrera and McAfee. Herrera also had a relative of hers, Telesforo Guerrera, who acted as John McAfee's attorney. And he continued to act as McAfee's attorney after they left. She also said His side of the story is that they're after him because he didn't pay off the government. They wanted to hurt him, to get rid of him. Now, of course, this is also something John McAfee has said on a number of occasions. He claims that he was able to connect corruption to the Belizean government, and that was the reason they attempted to frame him for the murder of Gregory Fall. But the Belizean government also claimed that John McAfee had a laboratory where he was making a number of different psychedelics and also some forms of methamphetamines. If you take a look at this picture I have on screen, that's, of course, John McAfee in that Spanish prison. And then the woman to the right is Samantha Herrera. Now, with the help of her relative acting as John McAfee's attorney, and also with a fake heart attack that John McAfee used to hoax his way out of going to jail again in Guatemala City, he and Herrera were able to safely return to the United States. However, not long after arriving, he broke things off with her, and then that's when he married that former prostitute from Miami, the woman named Janice Dyson. All of this is going to be in the documentary, and I think this is a pretty spicy story. Now, Guerrera says McAfee told her, unfortunately, you will have a potential criminal in the family now. And then the following year, he died. So what do the filmmakers think about Herrera's statements? Well, Charlie Russell is the man who directed the film. He said he was kind of puzzled by the statement. I don't know what I think, and I don't think she does. She says it, then she looks at the camera, and I can't work out whether she thinks it's real or not. She's someone who was very angry at John. Apparently, he promised them a life together, and I think they were genuinely in love, despite the huge age difference. I think he offered her a real different future, then he literally ditched her at the border, and I think that's very painful for her, and it's taken her years to get over it. Now, whether or not she still harbors ill will towards John McAfee, I don't see how her saying that he's alive when he actually isn't alive is really going to do anything to hurt John. I mean, the man was already a legend, and not always in a good way. But if he truly is alive and she just blew the whistle on it, that's going to put him into a very sticky situation. Now, I mentioned earlier the possibility of John McAfee getting Epstein'd, that perhaps he didn't truly kill himself, or rather that he was killed by some outside forces. Well, you can take a look at this tweet here from October 15th, 2020, where he said, I am content in here. I have friends. The food is good. All is well. Know that if I hang myself, a la Epstein, it will be no fault of mine. And then a week later, he tweeted out prison rule number 3, never snitch to the guards for any offense. I have been moved again to an even more undesirable cell block. And my new friend said, if someone steals from you, stab them when they're not looking. Not my style. And then in a post in January, he said that his circumstances were really not doing well, and he questioned the severity of his treatment. I've been here 3 months in a Spanish prison. If I could choose a place to be, prison would not be top of my list. If lawmakers were required to spend a single day in prison before being allowed to make laws and penalties for nonviolent crimes, this would be drastically less severe. Now, clearly, legislators, people in power, they don't really care all that much about making prison super comfortable. It's way different here in the United States than it is in some place like, say, Spain. But the point is not to be comfortable while you're in prison. If you break the law, they want you to be uncomfortable so you never come back. Well, regardless of any of that, if John McAfee is still alive and Samantha Herrera just blew the lid off of it, I think it's only a matter of time before we see or hear something else from John. All right, next, moving on to Mar-a-Lago and the illegal raid of President Trump's Florida residence. Well, earlier this morning, President Trump filed a motion asking for a couple of things, including seeking an independent review of the documents that were seized by the FBI when they raided that Florida home. Actually, he and his legal team filed this late Monday evening. Sorry about that. They're asking for an independent review from a special master of all of those documents that were seized in what he and we are calling an unprecedented and unnecessary raid of Mar-a-Lago. Clearly, the decision by the FBI, the DOJ, the Biden White House, Merrick Garland himself was politically motivated. It was meant to happen right before the midterm elections because they're afraid that President Trump is going to announce his run for president for 2024. And certainly they want to damage any candidate that could be associated associated with President Trump and the Republican Party, anybody that he has endorsed, or anybody that he's even speaking about favorably. Now, this motion was filed in U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Florida, and Trump and his legal team are seeking an order to appoint a special master so they can review all those documents that were nabbed during the search. He's also looking to block any further review of any of those seized materials from the government until that master is appointed. He's asking that the Justice Department provide a more detailed receipt of the property, something that does not include any documents they have slid into there, trying to frame him for any additional crimes. And he's requiring that the government return any item that was seized that is not within the scope of the search warrant. Certainly, his passports would have been included among them, but the government already gave them back. President Trump said in a statement that by filing this motion, he is strongly asserting his rights, including his Fourth Amendment under the Constitution. Of course, the FBI and the DOJ don't care about the Constitution. He also correctly stated that this is an unnecessary, unwarranted, and un-American break-in by dozens of FBI agents and others of my home, Mar-a-Lago, in Palm Beach, Florida. Who are those others? Those are the ones that I'm really interested to hear about. I'd also like to get a look at that initial paperwork that the FBI used to get the warrant from the judge that used to work for Jeffrey Epstein. But as it stands right now, the government is trying to keep that sealed. Now, we all know that the security cameras were demanded to be turned off by those FBI agents, but courageously, the Trump team.
When it comes to stubborn belly fat, we're all searching for a miracle pill which may never exist. But believe it or not, I may have found the next best thing. It's called Belly Trim, and it's more effective at targeting belly fat, enhancing metabolism, and promoting a toned midsection better than most weight management products I've seen typically found on store shelves. Tens of thousands of five-star reviewers can't be wrong. Simply place your order now to get 51% off along with many other free bonuses before they sell out by going to www.trimwithus.com. That's www.trimwithus.com. www.trimwithus.com. Order now.
Violent crime across the U.S. has skyrocketed. Between mass shootings, homicides, kidnappings, burglaries, and carjacking, it's never been more vital to learn how to protect yourself. This is why tens of thousands are choosing the Fighter Flare flashlight. The Fighter Flare flashlight includes an ultra-bright 800 lumen light, powerful strobe lighting modes for self-defense, a glass-breaking hammer, a built-in power bank, solar-powered recharging, rope and wire cutter, siren, high and low LED lighting mode, and much more. Simply place your order now to get 66% off along with many other free bonuses before they sell out by going to www.fighterflare.com. Order now at www.fighterflare.com.
A human catastrophe is closing in. Nobody knows how far this one is going to go. You can feel the heat as tension is rising globally. War is expensive. Open a Noble Gold Investments IRA today, and you can claim a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Just use the promo code GOLD. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Kept them on so that if the FBI did slide in any type of documents or any other illegal items into the stuff they took from Mar-a-Lago, we could end up knowing about it. Certainly, anything they took had to be categorized very deeply and intently. They would have to say where they got it from. And if the FBI was under the camera surveillance at the time that they got those documents or anything else from there, then it would be pretty easy for us to determine what was slid in so that they could try to frame our beloved president. Now, President Trump also posted on Truth Social not that long ago that all of the documentation that was at his home had been previously declassified, and he said as much again in the statement that he made earlier. And then we're not even going to get into the fact that Judge Bruce Reinhart recently recused himself from that RICO case President Trump filed against Hillary Clinton and many other people, and because he had a bias against him. He could not defensively preside over that case because there is problems between him and President Trump. So in this instance, why would you possibly think that it would be okay for Bruce Reinhart to preside over a warrant to search President Trump's home? Certainly the FBI and the DOJ would have had to include some really good reasoning, but if they did, it would have been a lie, because President Trump had every single document declassified before he took them home. This is nothing more than another witch hunt and an attempt to frame President Trump. Now, even more than that, We also have learned that based upon precedent set previously in a case involving the Clintons, Judge Amy Berman Jackson ruled that documents could not be taken from a president. You see, in this instance, Amy Berman Jackson ruled on a case involving hours and hours of audio tapes that were recorded by an archivist with Bill Clinton by the name of Taylor Branch. Those audio archives were even at one time kept in Bill Clinton's sock drawer. Now, Amy Berman Jackson, she's the one who put Roger Stone and Paul Manafort through a living hell for several years. Paul Manafort is still rotting in prison for what he did in Ukraine, even though what he did in Ukraine wasn't illegal. And that was simply another case of projection on behalf of the Bidens, the Democrats, and many other people who were engaged in illegal activity in Ukraine. So what was on those tapes? Well, Taylor Branch had recorded 79 audio tapes, which, as it's quoted here, preserved not only President Clinton's thoughts and commentary on contemporaneous events and issues he was facing as president, but in some cases recorded actual events such as presidential telephone conversations. Now, Judicial Watch had sued to have those tapes added to the National Archives. And remember, the National Archives were the ones who said that they needed these documents from President Trump. So Berman Jackson said that there was no provision in the Presidential Records Act to force the National Archives to seize records from a former president. Now, it's very interesting because this case has a lot of similarities to what happened with President Trump. According to Amy Berman Jackson's ruling, along with the Justice Department's arguments that preceded it, it made some sweeping declarations that have more direct relevance to the FBI's decision to seize handwritten notes and files that President Trump took with him to Mar-a-Lago. What's most relevant about this decision is that a president has discretion over personal records versus official records, and that at his sole discretion, he has the ability to declassify or destroy records at will. So this also calls into question that story from Maggie Haberman, which said that President Trump had a habit of tearing up records and throwing them down the toilet. President Trump, as the president of the United States of America, could have had the sole discretion to take every single piece of paper that ever crossed his desk, put it directly into the shredder, and have it all burned. So what the DOJ and the FBI and the National Archives have done in this instance by raiding President Trump's home to take those handwritten notes and any other papers he had that he took with him is completely illegal. And we have the court precedent to say that much. Under the statutory scheme established by the PRA, the decision to segregate personal materials from presidential records is made by the president during the president's term and in his sole discretion. Those are the exact words that Amy Berman Jackson wrote in her decision back in March of 2012. It was never appealed. No one ever challenged it because the president is the president of the freaking United States of America. She continued by saying, since the president is completely entrusted with the management and even the disposal of presidential records during his time in office, it would be difficult for this court to conclude that Congress intended what he would have less authority to do, what he pleases with what he considers to be his personal records. You can take Amy Berman Jackson's decision and you can put it in the context of the case that's taking place right now, the raid at Mar-a-Lago, and President Trump could conceivably use this as an argument to show that the federal government acted in an illegal manner. Now, Amy Berman Jackson also noted that it would be wrong to seize the tapes from Bill Clinton, that it was an extraordinary request that was unfounded, contrary to the PRA's express terms and contrary to traditional principles of administrative law. The court agrees. I would hope that Amy Berman Jackson might pipe up and have something to say in regards to this case, but unfortunately, I don't think she's down there in that area in Florida. Now, at that time, that case was Tom Fitton versus the federal government. And in that case, the government defended the matter that Bill Clinton did not have to turn over those tapes. However, now the federal government is going after Donald Trump and telling him that he has to turn over everything. This is an overly broad warrant. This is a classic case of judicial and federal overreach. The United States government has no rights in this matter. They certainly do not have the legal right to go after Donald Trump and demand that he turn over everything that he had in his possession. because he was the president. As Amy Berman Jackson wrote in her decision, he had sole discretion over what must or must not be destroyed or what could go with him. And it was an unprecedented decision at the time to consider the fact that Judicial Watch should get those records from Bill Clinton. And it's still an unprecedented situation right now. The federal government is wrong. President Trump is going to win, and they have opened themselves up to this type of behavior in the future when President Trump returns and that boomerang comes flying back around. All right, next, we finally have a bit of resolution to the fake news attempt to destroy Matt Gaetz and his political career. What it ended up being was an attempt to extort $25 million from his father and the rest of his family. Now, this is a terrible case. I still see people claiming to be conservatives online saying that Matt Gaetz is some type of a pedophile. Maybe it's because the New York Times published a hit piece taking the allegations in this case and claiming that Matt Gaetz was under investigation for dating and transporting a 17-year-old girl by airplane across state lines. However, Matt Gaetz has always denied these claims. He's never been under investigation for anything related to that. And Gaetz was actually participating in a sting operation against the individual who was trying to extort $25 million from him. Now, Matt Gaetz may be a bit of a ladies' man. He might have more than one girlfriend at a time. That's Matt Gaetz's business, however, and it has no bearing on his ability to govern down here in the state of Florida or anywhere else at large. Matt Gaetz is a man who has women in his life, but none of those women are underage or anything approaching that. He is an effective communicator, a wonderful advocate for the America First agenda, and as such, as being close to President Trump, they had to try to take him out. Well, it did not work, and now we've gotten word that the person who is attempting to extort that $25 million from him is going to see some time in prison. If we head just a little bit lower down this article after a series of statements that were made by Matt Gaetz on places like Tucker Carlson, we find that in August of 2021, federal prosecutors accused a man named Stephen Alford of trying to defraud U.S. Representative Matt Gaetz' father, Don Gaetz, out of $25 million. And Stephen Alford, as a consequence of his crimes, pled guilty to that attempt to extort that money from Gaetz and his family. The Washington Examiner tells us that in a statement from the Justice Department, we learn that U.S. District Judge Casey Rogers has sentenced Stephen Alford, 62 years of age, to 63 months plus 3 years of supervised release after he pled guilty last year to that one count of wire fraud, according to the federal documents. Matt Gaetz now has plausible reason to file defamation and slander lawsuits against every single media outlet that claimed he was some type of a pedophile or a child trafficker. Certainly, this is another case of projection where those who are guilty of child trafficking and probably had close associations to Jeffrey Epstein and people in his inner circle, they were trying to put these same crimes on Matt Gaetz. Well, in another case of boomerang justice coming right around, it looks like Stephen Alford, and I certainly hope all of those media outlets are going to be the ones that are going to be paying up and admitting to their crimes. All right, guys. And finally, something seems to have shifted in the mainstream media. Suddenly, places like Fox News are beginning to report on the fact that the COVID-19 vaccines were not all they were cracked up to be. And in many cases, they appear to be deadly and very damaging. Now, if you've been watching my show for any length of time, you know this is something I've been speaking about since the very beginning. The idea of these mRNA clot shots being injected to us by force is abhorrent to anyone who loves America and the freedom we're supposed to be able to have as a consequence of being born here. However, many people decided to bend the knee and take the shots without having to be forced. And one of those people, it looks like, was Dan Bongino. He has recently responded to a disturbing report that Tucker Carlson aired regarding the damaging and deleterious effects of taking these COVID-19 clot shots. And he says that getting vaccinated for COVID was the greatest regret of his life. Now, let's go ahead and roll down to the bottom of the article, and I'm going to play this 2 minute and 30 second video clip where Dan Bongino talks about his decision to take that shot. He says, it was the biggest regret of my life. I just should have waited. Now, Dan Bongino is not a stupid man, but he is a member of the most mainstream part of the alternative media, if you will. Let's go ahead and watch, and you go ahead and tell me what you think in the comments below.
Biggest mistake of my life. I just should have waited. I thought to myself at the time, I even told Guy, I said, you know, there's no doubt I feel like this was created in this virus in a lab in Wuhan, China. I have little doubt about that. And I figured, you know, I'd rather take my chances with something we created than something they created. Remember when I told you that, Guy? Because I was scared. Again, my doctor told me with lymphoma and being under chemo that if I got this thing, it could be ugly. Let's just leave it at that. Stupid. Why? I watched this clip from the Tucker Carlson show citing some research coming out. And time has now passed and we're starting to see things. It's really the most troubling minute 20 seconds I've had to listen to in a long time because I'm scared of what's coming. I had it a little while ago and I'm afraid it's the repercussions of this for a lot of people have not been felt. Here, check this out.
To neurodegenerative disease, myocarditis, Bell's palsy, liver disease, impaired adaptive immunity, impaired DNA damage response, etc. So it's possible, in fact, it's looking likely that the vaccine might suppress the immune system. This fact, the authors concluded, will, quote, have a wide range of consequences, not the least of which include the reactivation of latent viral infections and the reduced ability to effectively combat future infections, end quote. Now, again, we sincerely hope that's not true. But it's not just the conclusion of one scientific journal. The Lancet, maybe the most famous scientific journal in the world, released similar findings in February. The Lancet's piece was entitled, quote, risk of infection, hospitalization, and death up to 9 months after a second dose of COVID-19 vaccine. A physician called Kenji Yamamoto made this observation about the data from The Lancet. He wrote this in a letter to the Journal of Virology, and we're quoting, the study showed that immune function among vaccinated individuals 8 months after the administration of two doses of COVID-19 vaccine was lower than that among the unvaccinated individuals.
Folks, science is patience. Science is long-term. Science is chronological. Science is the repeating and replicating of data through process, through control groups. Science is the elimination of confounding variables. All these things take time. Now, whereas I understand we were in an emergency situation with COVID, no emergency situation should lead a company or a government to force people to take something, to force them to take something that may in the long run damage their bodies. Greatest regret of my life.
You know, I think it's wonderful that people like Tucker Carlson are finally reporting on the true nature of these deadly and unnecessary medications. I think it's great that Dan Bongino is openly and honestly discussing his regret in submitting to the tyranny of taking this deadly and unnecessary medication. But I have one question for both of them. Where were they when the federal government of the United States was trying to exert unmeasurable force upon the citizens of this country to force them to get this deadly and unnecessary medication? Something that had not been tested. Something that showed in laboratory tests to be extremely deadly. Something that showed to have a number of really heinous side effects. Where were they when private companies all across America were forcing their employees to take this shot or risk losing their homes and their families to be unable to take care of the people they love? Where were they when the federal government was forcing the men and women who have given their lives to serve our country to either take this shot or end up on the streets getting discharged dishonorably? Where were you guys? Why was it up to people like me, small content creators with a limited following, a couple of thousand people a day watching my show? Where were you when people like us were getting attacked, getting deplatformed for being the only ones with the courage to speak truth about what was really going on? I certainly hope nothing happens to Dan Bongino. I hope that he is fine, and I hope that he got one of the batches that are not going to give him some paralyzing effects later on down the line. But the only good thing to come out of this is that now, as a result of them talking about it, millions of people who didn't listen to my show, millions of people who didn't listen to all of the other truthers out there who were trying to get the word out, now they're finally going to see just what it was they allowed to be injected into their veins. Now they're finally going to have some level of compassion for the people who did stand up, who did not allow themselves to be turned into some experiment at the hands of evil Dr. Fauci or Deborah Birx or the CDC or the FDA or Pfizer or BioNTech or whoever it was that was trying to make a buck off the dead bodies of Americans. Hopefully now people will understand exactly what's been going on over the course of the last few years. This was never about COVID-19. This was about power, money, control, and yes, killing people so that they could make more room on the face of planet Earth for themselves and their elitist kids in the future, continuing to jet set all around the world on private planes while they force us to buy electric vehicles, because we, the plebs of America, are the expendable few. We are the ones that they don't need. They wanted to kill us, and they thought, what better way to do it than through the fear of some unknown disease that we can finally get people to put something in their bodies that's going to do them massive amounts of harm. Dan Bongino and Tucker Carlson, kudos to you. I'm glad you had something to say about it. But for everybody else who still has not decided to step forward and speak the truth of what's been happening over the course of these last few years, shame on you. Shame on you for having the platform and the ability to do something and choosing to remain silent so you could keep getting that sweet paycheck. Everybody's got to feed their families. And for that very reason, everybody who was forced to submit to this COVID-19 tyranny, they made an impossible choice. Take something that you think might kill you or harm you later on down the line, or not take it and run the risk of losing everything. We need people to speak truth to power. We need people in the alternative media. And finally, now that so many people don't trust the mainstream media, now that finally people are turning to alternatives such as myself and many other honest, trustworthy content creators out there, maybe we're going to be able to make a difference. Certainly, Dr. Fauci leaving government, that's going to make a difference. Certainly, Dan Bongino and Tucker Carlson having the cojones to say something, that's going to make a difference too. But for many, many other people out there who have already died, who have already developed multiple sclerosis or Bell's palsy or shingles or any other number of horrible side effects, it's not going to make a difference for them. I want to thank everyone for joining me. As always, this has been Red Pill 78. My name is Zach Payne, the Corruption Detector, and this was another edition of Red Pill News. Good luck, everyone, and God bless.
Violent crime across the U.S. has skyrocketed. Just recently, a politician was carjacked by three armed attackers outside his home in Washington, D.C. This comes several months after another politician was assaulted in the elevator of her building. Between mass shootings, kidnappings, burglaries, and carjackings, it's never been more vital to learn how to protect yourself. This is why tens of thousands are choosing the Fighter Flare flashlight. The Fighter Flare flashlight has awed people with a wonderful design and massive light output. On top of an ultra-bright 800-lumen light, it boasts powerful strobe lighting modes for self-defense, a glass-breaking hammer, a built-in power bank, solar-powered recharging, rope cutter, siren, and much more. Countless five-star reviews back up the notion that this flashlight is the latest and greatest in the EDC market. But there's more. If you place your order for the Fighter Flare flashlight now, you'll also receive 66% off, free express shipping, and last but not least, a 100% lifetime guaranteed replacement. Simply go to www.fighterflare.com to take advantage of this limited-time deal before they sell out. www.fighterflare.com. Order now.